everyone. Welcome all. Step right up. Step right up, ladies and gentlemen. Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 92 is coming at you right now. Howdy, everybody. Portal Gaming Podcast is a podcast brought to you by a store called The Portal, located in Manchester, Connecticut. For more information, you can log on to www.timemachineportal.com. You can check us out on Facebook, The Portal, and on Twitter, at PortalGaming60. Howdy, everybody. I am your host, The Brant, for this episode, and with me is...
Kathy.
Your co-host for this one, number 92. This one is entitled Red Leader, This is Gold Leader. That is because we're going to have a battle report. We've got a little battle report of a live game of Psy, the playthrough of Psy, where we were... A session report. There's probably better. kind of in real time, we recorded throughout as we were playing Psy. Jamie was nice enough to send us a review / demo copy for the store. And we wanted to do something kind of different with that, so we said, let's do a session report. I don't think we've done many of those, so that was fun to do. So you'll hear that later. That is with myself and Brian and Jason Perez from Every Night is Game Night. So there it is. Hey, Kath!
Hey, what's up?
You're here.
I am.
All right. So here we are. This is it. We're getting Florida weather in Connecticut now. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Yeah. For air conditioning everywhere.
Yeah. It's, I guess we're supposed to have some crazy, like, they feel like they've been talking about this forever. Like, it's gonna be 95 and super humid and the heat index and all these things. And today's definitely hot, but the humidity's not here, so.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
But I guess that's, bring on summer. So, yeah. Summer's been good. We've been busy so far. We went to the zoo.
Yep.
And went to our lake. In town,
mm-hmm.
And kind of today's been our first quiet day of the summer. Well,
for you,
for Zephyr and I, you've been working.
I still have to work.
Yeah, but hey, work and is almost done, and vacation is coming.
Vacation is coming. We're very soon.
Going to Dice Tower Con. Lot of prep to do to get ready. We got a Marklin train that we're gonna give away in the Jack Vassell Memorial Auction. So that should be really cool. And I think probably top of my list, my highest priority before we leave, is to finish this book that I've been reading.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Mistborn book.
Are you going to make it?
I got 126 pages, which I think for most people is like, oh, so you'll be done this afternoon. But for me, it's like, okay, so if I read 25 pages a day for the next 5 days, I'll be done, because I don't want to bring the whole book with me. I know people will say ebook and all that kind of stuff and yada, 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 but I am not. That's not me.
Yeah.
I'm a book person. So I got the giant, you know, hardcover book from the library with the jacket and all the accoutrements.
Okay.
So I'm going to finish that book up, but it's really good. So when we get back, you'll have to take it out of the library and read it as well.
Yeah,
I'll read it next. E-book, because you do all the e-book stuff.
I do a lot of e-books.
So, cool. What else before Dice Tower Con? What do we got on the list?
Packing and a lot of laundry. It's really exciting.
I'm sure that's why people tuned into this podcast.
No doubt.
Like, yeah. What things do you have to do before you go on a trip? You have to pack and do laundry. Hey! So, yeah, there's all that, but we're gonna head down there, and then we're gonna have some time with friends afterward. You're gonna see your friends from college.
Yeah, I went to college in Florida, and so I will be able to be seeing roommates that I haven't seen in probably 10 years or so, which will be very exciting.
Yeah, yeah. Zephyr's making a face at me now, because she's like, that means they don't even know who I am.
That's true.
Some of them don't even really know who I am, Zeph, so there's that. cool, yeah, so let's get into this episode. I'm not going to do any announcements for this one or events or things upcoming, but yeah, like I said, we're going to be at Dice Tower Con. I think we're going to try to sneak in an episode for next week if we can record one with Brian as well, mm-hmm. The three of us before we leave, so that's kind of on the list. But if there's no episode next week, it's because we're traveling.
That's true.
But then Zephra and Kathy and I, along with special guests, all sorts of Dice Tower-esque people, will be recording an episode from Dice Tarkon. Now, that'll be not a sit-down episode. That'll be an on-the-fly episode, almost like a not a vlog. What would it be if it's audio? An A-log? Is it an audio log? Is that a thing?
Oh, I think that might be a thing.
All right, it's going to be an audio log, so I'll just go around and chat with people, and I don't often do the, like, oh, here's a designer, let me interview them for 3 minutes and have them shill all of their new things, and here's a publisher, let me have them shill all their new things, but maybe for this one I will.
We'll find out.
Have people say all this stuff. The thing that's kind of fun here is Dice Tower Con is kind of interesting in that publishers released games at Origins, but then they're going to release at Gen Con, and this is almost like a soft launch for some Gen Con stuff, which is actually kind of neat. Of course, Gen Con is supposed to be a soft launch for, like, the retail release.
Yeah.
But Gen Con is anything but a soft launch. It is a hard, blunt launch, if you've ever gone there. 65,000 people running in circles, screaming, yelling, grabbing things. It's chaotic, so I don't think it would be your cup of tea.
No.
All right. What other things? That's it. We should talk about a game.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to talk about a game, and then we're going to talk about a meetup that we went to.
Yeah.
Here we go. We played Dragon's Gate College from NSKN Games. So Dragon's Gate College is kind of if Harry Potter went to college, I suppose. Do you think Harry Potter went to college? Or do you think, like, once you graduate high school... Or does it include college years? Do they really tell us?
He had to go on to Auror School.
Auror School.
I don't know that it was school. It was more training or apprenticeship.
Is Auror School at Dragon's Gate College?
No.
Okay, so these are not connected themes. So this one, though, is more you're running the college than, like, you're the student.
Right.
So you hire professors, you hire, ready? Apprentices.
Good job.
You build buildings on campus, I guess? Although you start with zero buildings on campus, which is an interesting college. Mm. I suppose it's an online college until you build a building.
I suppose that's true.
I assume the idea is supposed to be that you have the main buildings and these are your extra buildings.
As you expand.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I assume the professors aren't just standing in the yard. They probably have offices of some sort. So anyway... It's a Euro. It's a dice drafting game. There's theme. I think there's theme, and then the theme kind of drops out. That would be kind of how I would see it. So it's a dice drafting game. So you roll dice equal to double the number of players. So with the two of us, it was four dice. Start with one of each of our color. So we were blue and yellow, and then there were two white dice, which are generic. Roll the dice, and then you draft the dice. And so then the numbers give you various things you can do. So the things you could do were you could add a building, you could hire a new professor, you could acquire a new person to come to your college, you could just straight up turn in money, get money, or turn in money for points. You're trying to get victory points over five rounds. You could train, like, by running the gauntlet or something. I don't know what that was. It was like a dungeon. You do, like, a dungeon run. And then probably the most important thing was you could go on a career path. So you could choose the warrior, the rogue? I don't remember what it was. Stealth? I guess it was just stealth. The warrior, the stealth, or the magic. And it was a series of, you need to have certain tiles, and you need to have certain things that your professors give you, and then you could pay coins to up your level, and then you could grab a tile. When you grab a tile, you got a bonus on the tile, you got a bonus from the column the tile came from, and you could cover things on your board where you put it. So it was like, that was kind of cool. That comboing was really fun.
Yep.
To figure out what three bonuses do I want. And three bonuses was pretty fun. So you essentially do that. If you draft a die that is your own color, you just get to do the action, or if it's neutral. But if you draft the other player's die, then you get to do an action, and they get to follow up with an action.
Yep.
So then that was the other key action, was you could replace a neutral die with one of your own and max at three. And then as the rounds went on, you added more dice, and there was a combo or combined dice, which was always we both got to do it, whoever drafted it. And that's where it went. There were little things like wizarding cards that could do random effects, and there were there's like a stealth track to score points for that, and yeah, that dungeon, and there was what's the one other thing I'm thinking of? I guess you pay the maintenance fee. That's not super exciting. The buildings were interesting because they all gave you bonus abilities.
Right.
And, darn, there was one other thing that I can't think of anymore. But that was essentially it. And it kind of built up as it went and scored from there. So it was interesting at first. You know, I felt like the theme was there and you're adding to this college and this building. But then the dice drafting really came through of just kind of a mechanism, because what numbers you rolled was very arbitrary as to what they were tied to, which was good in terms of, like, every roll is a good roll. It might not work for you in terms of that. So what's your overall impression of the game?
I really liked it. I liked the play of the game and the different actions. I felt like the art could have been better.
It's definitely stylized.
Yeah.
They definitely went with a style. It wasn't like it's not under-arted.
Yeah.
Under-illustrated.
The board is huge, and it doesn't need to be that big.
Yeah. It is a gigantic... So think how big the Castell bag is. Think of that for a board. And yeah, not like just a war game where the board makes sense to be a huge map. It's just a huge Euro board.
Didn't need to be that big.
The chits, instead of being like small centimeter chits, they're like 2 centimeter chits or whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
And there's a lot of blank space on the board too. And the colors are very muted. I don't know. It wasn't as appealing to look at. I enjoyed the play of the game, though. Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah. Yeah, in terms of all the components and whatnot, like, I agree with you. The art wasn't so much that it was like, oh, this isn't what I would expect for art from, like, a Magic school game. Mm-hmm. Like, it made sense. It felt like it could have been even more engrossing.
Yeah.
It could have been more exciting, even whimsical might have been fun for this game.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I don't know that it necessarily has a whimsical approach to what you're doing. It's much more of a, like, how are we gonna, you know, make a great school, not how can we make a silly school where silly things, because you're not, like, casting spells, and you're gonna be a toad, and now you can't win the foot race to the cafeteria. Like, it wasn't one of those things. You know, where you're casting silly spells on each other. But I feel like, it could have had a little more whimsy, a little more joy, a little more fantasy to it.
Right.
In terms of that. But other than that, the components were fine. I mean, the part that's nice about the big board is that all the chits are large.
Yes.
So they were very easy to read. They were easy to see. I mean, the dice are just totally standard dice, so there's nothing there. I don't think there's any wooden components. Maybe our trackers must have been wooden discs.
Our trackers were wooden, yeah.
So there was nothing special there. There's no meeples of any sort. But again, for a Euro game, it was totally fine.
Yep.
In terms of all that. So what about gameplay? Engrossing, engaging as it went on? Was it engine building? What was good? What was bad?
I really liked it. I felt like there were there was a lot to think about. I liked that there were a lot of... I felt like there were kind of different strategies to take. There are a lot of different ways to get points. And I like games like that where we're not all trying to just do the exact same thing. Where you're kind of free to try your own thing and see if it works. I enjoyed that part of it. It was interesting. It kind of actually reminded me of Agricola a little bit, in that thinking about filling up the spaces on my board and maximizing my points at the end. Like, trying to figure out, like, if I need these... If I have these two trophies, if I get this other trophy, I'll get points. But if... It was just a lot of... kind of puzzly thinking like that. I felt like it was important to look at the end scoring to see where I wanted to maximize.
And actually, components, we should have stated that there are two-sided cards that are player aids, but they spell out all the endgame scoring.
Yeah.
There was, the rule book was fine. The one career action is very long, so there's like a whole double page section to describe that. All the other actions are super straightforward.
Yep.
So that was fine. There was one rule we couldn't find in the rule book. On our player mats, where we store our dice at the start, there's a little symbol showing, like, if this goes into the pool, there's an arrow, and then two victory points. And we weren't sure, does that mean at the end of the game you get two victory points? Is it every time you do that action? And nowhere is it stated in the rule book that
yeah,
we could find.
Yeah, I couldn't find it anywhere.
So based on the symbol, it seemed to be you score 2 points every time you do that action.
Right.
But it's not on the board space. It's only on our board. The boards, we also should mention, are double-sided. One side, all the player boards are... Oh, and they're thin player boards. They don't hold anything or whatnot.
Yeah.
There's an A side that's all the same, and then the B side is, like, kind of random setup or whatever, different for different people.
Yep.
Those player aids were really good. They spelled out everything for endgame scoring, so you knew everything that was going to happen. And with only two players, we were able to use one face up, one face down, but those were good.
Yep.
Gameplay... The part that I actually really liked was it didn't hold back with, like, drafting in terms of, like, things were not necessarily equal. Now, the die rolls were somewhat equal in that it wasn't like hot, like, fives and sixes were better and ones and twos were bad. Based on what's happening, that happened.
And they gave you something to be able to manipulate your die roll, too. There were imps, which mm-hmm. were, you could... raise or lower the number on the that you rolled on the die. So I felt like they were perfectly usable enough.
But I liked even, like, sometimes it would be like, well, I'll just use Kathy's die because I really need a 4 and I don't want to use my imps, and I'll give her a 4 action. I don't know that it's super useful to her.
Right.
So that was cool. Like, it didn't feel like, oh, I'm just not going to use her dice ever.
Right, yeah.
So that was neat that it kind of enticed me to want to do that. And then I actually liked it. It was weirder in the game. I noticed, like, the professors are not equal.
Right.
And the apprentices are not equal. But that was good. So right. It made it like, oh, I want to draft there first. I want to get the better one. Or it might just be the better one doesn't apply to what I'm doing. Because, like you said, you kind of picked one of the careers that you were better at.
Yeah.
And then you could change, but for the most part, you were kind of sticking with one, and maybe you could switch to another. All three would be tough to do.
Yeah.
And so I liked that element. As it went on, it was interesting to try to score the points. You just beat me, whatever it was. I don't know. The cards were very weird. The cards allowed you to do something, and then everybody got to do something. And that was very strange. I didn't understand
and
that.
And some of them, you didn't have a choice. Like, there were a lot of play immediate cards.
Right.
And then it was funny because they didn't necessarily even benefit the person who played it, for sure.
Yeah, they were strange. They'd be like, you get 2 imps and 2 money, and then all other players get an imp and 3 money. Like, it was not even...
Yeah,
it wasn't even just like a thank you for playing, but it was like equivalent or better.
Right.
So we weren't sure where that was coming from. But all in all, it reminded me a lot of Castles of Burgundy. That was the feel that I got, was manipulating the dice, trying to get the right things. Other than getting the careers, though, the combos for scoring just weren't quite there.
Yeah.
There was like mini set collection, and hopefully I can go for that. I think maybe the time span, the number of dice, is so much less,
mm-hmm.
right? There wasn't those interesting choices,
yeah.
Or I never really felt that urge of, like, if I don't take that, Kathy's going to. A little bit with a couple things, maybe.
Yeah, not a lot.
But for the most part, it was like, if she goes down the dungeon track, I'll grab the better professor. If she grabs the professor, I'll go down the dungeon track. Like, which is neat, because you don't feel like you're getting skunked, but at the same time, it just kind of made your choices not quite as exciting, not nearly as exciting as Castle of Burgundy. But they also weren't as plentiful as that, so I think that was an element as well. Any other final thoughts on the gameplay?
No, I don't think so. I really liked it, though.
Yeah, I thought it was solidly fun. I wasn't really sure where it fits... in terms of, like, that dice drafting between, you know, like, La Granja, which is a definite heavier game,
mm-hmm.
and Casa Burgundy, which is lighter but longer. This game probably ran us like 60 minutes, and Castle Burgundy's probably like 90.
Yeah.
Or 75. I always think Castle Burgundy's gonna be longer, but we know it so well now that it runs a little shorter. So I don't know that I'd play it over Castle Burgundy, but I like the theme. But it's not super strong. Like I said, it kind of at first you're like, oh, this is cool. We got this big board. And then you're just kind of doing things. And, it, you know, the buildings were neat. They're all available at all times in terms of that. But again, there wasn't that rush of like, if I don't get this one, then Kathy's going to get that building. And I need that building. And I'm going to fill my board. And I need this size. I never got anywhere close to filling my board.
Yeah. I wonder if that would change if we played it more.
And we knew, like,
I really want this building.
Yeah.
Or something. But I'm not sure necessarily.
Then you wonder about, like, do you want to shuffle and have random buildings so you don't just say, like, oh, that's the building that everybody goes for at the start of the game.
I don't know if there's a building that's significantly...
No, they weren't amazing. They just fill space, give you points.
And a little
give you
bonus.
A bonus. Yeah. Temporary, usually what you need. Oh, I need to pump up that skill or ability. So
I didn't feel like it was that similar to Castles of Burgundy that I would play one or the other.
Gotcha.
I felt they were different enough personally.
Yeah, but I think what you're saying really great. I'm saying solidly good.
Yeah.
You know, that obviously these are arbitrary ratings, but I'm not going to put a number to it just because whatever. But it was fun. It's definitely a game that I would tell people to play. It's a try-it game. You should definitely play it. It's not super long. You're not going to get bogged down. I would imagine even with four, it wouldn't be brutal. It doesn't strike me that we played it in 60 minutes and it would be 2 hours with four people.
Yeah, I don't think people
would be fine and they'd make their decisions and draft their dice and go. So there was that. That was Dragon's Gate College.
Yep.
All right, then we went to a meetup. We went to the Beer and Board Games meetup, which is basically Gary Pope. From Late to the Table, hosts this with Harrison, who's been on the podcast before.
Mm-hmm.
And it is at a local brewery, at the Thomas Hooker Brewery at Colt.
Yep.
And so they had a bunch of people, and we went in, and you could get drinks or food, and then Gary had a whole bunch of games there. And he really just spent the whole night welcoming people in, making sure people found spots, taking pictures.
Yep.
Which I thought was really cool. That was a really cool idea, especially with that many people. There was probably 30 plus people that walked through and played. It was hard to know who was already there, who was just there and picked up a game to play, and who was there. People were playing outside till it started raining.
Yeah.
And we got to play a bunch of games, so we're just going to run through those quick. Oh, the one negative, which was really tough, was there was like a bingo music game going on, and it was really hard to compete with. Like, it's one thing when they just play music in the bar. Now, this is just, hey, we switched to Wednesdays, and it was on Fridays, and this thing already happens on Wednesdays, so we just have, you know, they'll have to decide how that's going to work going forward.
It was super loud.
And it was like 30-second clips of 90s songs
that
I knew, so you start singing, and then it disappears.
Right.
And that was tough. But it was still fun. It just changed what games you could possibly play.
Right.
You needed to have communication and the explanation of the game be shorter for that.
Yep.
So we played a bunch. We played Six Nymphed.
Yep.
And that was cool. We played that a couple times with a bunch of people, and it's just chaotic. And I think you got hosed twice.
I did, yeah.
Cool. And I think I won one of those. So that's just a cool card playing game. We're not going to describe all these.
Right.
What else did we play?
We played Ghost Blitz.
Ah, and you killed everyone.
Yes.
Yeah. But that's fun. That's a cool game.
It was fun.
We played Fantasy Realms.
Yes.
And that was actually pretty close.
For four
people, it was like 150, 190, 200, 210, something like that.
Yeah.
And that's actually pretty close for that game. Sometimes that game's like somebody has 300 and everybody else has 80. It was cool, but it's probably like a little bit thinky for trying to explain to people. Like, I don't know. To me, it's just kind of grab a card and score points and see what happens. But I think for other people, they're trying to like calculate.
Well, also, it was a lot of first time people playing that game. And it was super loud
and a lot of
people and card reading. I think I think people liked it.
Yeah, but hands down, my favorite game we played was Why First. I loved that game.
Oh, yeah.
So, what's your opinion?
It was all right.
Okay. So, Why First is, the title is implying, is why does first place have to win? Why can't second place win? So, the entire point of this game is to be in second place. So, you deal out a bunch of cards that have plus and minus, roughly minus 4 to plus 4. something like that, something minus three like to that. Plus five, whatever it is. Everybody starts at zero, and you get five cards, and you say, one, two, three, go, or three, two, one, go, and you throw a card in front of somebody. And then they...
In front of anybody.
Anybody, including yourself, any player, boom, boom, boom. The idea is supposed to be you already made up your mind. You're not, like, thinking on at that time. And then they figure out their differential. I've got a minus four and a plus two, so I go back two spaces. Done. You do that for four of the cards, then the fifth card you have to play on yourself. So you can't, like, yeah, it's not like a surprise there or whatever. Then you figure out who or whom is in second place. And all those people score the points equal to the space they're on. So it sounds like you want to push first really far forward and then be in second one step behind them. Ha ha ha, au contraire. Because... If you have like 9 or 10 points, the trick is you play five rounds, but at the end of the five rounds, you don't win if you have the most points. Who wins?
The second place points.
And that was a cool dynamic.
Yeah,
because
that was great.
We ended up with like three people at 5 points.
And two people at 4 points.
And going into that round, and one person at 4 points, right?
Right.
And so the 5-point people are all like, let's move the 4-point person up. But then I was secretly like, no, I'm going to push one of these people who's at five ahead so that they go ahead and now I'm in second.
Right.
And then you were at zero with Harrison and you were trying to pull... What were you trying to
do? We wanted the 4-point person to get just
one more
point
so that they would go
to
five.
So everyone would be at five,
and
then we would
win with zero. Yeah. And Harrison ended up getting 4 points, tying with that person.
Right, exactly.
And then people are like, oh, it's a tie. I'm like, no, but a tie's even better because that game's so chaotic. Like, you can't go from there then. But yeah, I really enjoyed that game.
Fun.
I mean, it was silly, and you got to just not take it seriously and just laugh at all that. It's not like a strategic second place or anything. It's just where you end up. But it definitely the payoff in the last round was cool. So kind of if you view it as a party game, to me it was like Time's Up, where every round got more interesting, which is always good.
Yeah,
you know, you get to those rounds and you still have something to do. So that was that. But yeah, overall that meetup was really fun. I enjoyed it. I think we'll go back. Kathy can't have beer, but you were able to have...
But they had other drinks
hard
that I
cider
could drink, yeah.
And other things, so that was good. And the location was good. It'd be nice. I know sometimes they gave them the back room, and they didn't this time. But, I don't know. There's something to be in that ambiance, and people walking in and seeing people playing.
Yeah.
It's good
fun
to not
it
be
was
in a back room.
Super loud.
Yeah.
But it was fun playing... We actually had... someone who didn't really play games playing with us for a while.
Right.
And, like, just playing with a variety of people. And it wasn't necessarily just for gamers or whatever.
Yeah, and I thought that was a huge key for me. It was like, hey, to go and not play with the crew that I just always play with at the Portal. Like, playing somewhere else. So, huge props to Gary. Obviously, he plays at the Portal a bunch, too. And thanks to Thomas Hooker for letting us play there and whatnot. And that was a good time. So.
Yeah.
All right, we gotta get ready for Dice Tower Con. So up next is a battle report of Scythe from Stonemaier Games. All right, everybody, we are doing something a little different here. We're gonna do a session report of a playthrough of Scythe. So Jamie from Stonemaier was nice enough to send us a copy here that we have at the store. Well, we'll have at the store. We're going to play through. I have played Scythe a bunch and reviewed it in the past, so I thought it'd be good to bring in a couple people. And also to add in a few of the extra elements. So I'm playing one of the factions, Clan Albion from the Invaders from Afar expansion. And then we are playing with... the Wind Gambit, so we have our airships out, as well as we are playing with the Mission Possible Endgame objective. Listeners probably know that my biggest complaint with Scythe in the past, which Scythe is a great game, but my one complaint was the endgame conditions, so we're going to alter those endgame conditions, have some other ways to score stars, and everybody gets a final turn after the game's over, so... we'll see how that changes all that. Also, for astute listeners who want to know specifically what our airships do, we have Negotiate and Espionage out for the two tiles. So, cool. Yeah, so I'm Brant. I'm playing Clan Albion. And I have played Scythe like 8 to 10 times. I don't know how many solo I've played. So including solo, somewhere in the 8 to 10 time range.
Yeah, I'm Brian. I'm playing Blue. the Nordic Kingdoms. I've played a handful of times. I think maybe just three, but I guess I played once solo, a three-player game, and a five-player game. So, you know, it's good to get this back out. I haven't played this faction before, so I wanted to test it out. It's always fun to try something new, so...
This is Jason from the Evanatis Game Night podcast. I am playing Yellow, of course, if you know me, which is the Crimean Kante? Something, Yellow, that's what I'm playing. I've only played Scythe once. I beat a bunch of noobs, so I'm feeling very confident going into this game. We'll see if I can make some headway against these veterans.
All right, so a couple things. I think just bringing this game back out, commenting on art and components is just, it's amazing. The art on the game is beautiful, obviously the story of where the game came from, and the components are great. We are playing basically with the retail version. So it's not the Kickstarter version, we don't have special components and all that. We're playing with the small board, which is large and takes up half my giant table, so it's already big. But even the wooden bits here are, you know, custom bits and everything, and no doubt these airships are definitely favoring those who like the model, the miniatures end of it. I'm sure Brian is thinking, like, they couldn't just make these out of chits.
Are these all molded the same?
Oh, are they the same?
It's the same mold, man. Look, yeah.
So, anybody comments on components, other things before we start?
I'm good. You know, I'm not a really components guy, so.
Yeah, no, they're really well done, though. I mean, I don't know. It definitely jumps out, and it looks nice. The presentation is great. So
yeah, there's no doubt if I saw this on the table, I'd be like, what are you playing, right? Yeah. And I'm sure that's where the hype for this game began and went. So cool. So we're going to play a couple rounds. Probably when somebody gets like 2 stars, we'll stop, and sure, we'll talk about our experience and go from there.
Pause.
Mm-hmm. All right. We are pretty far into the game. We've probably taken 10, 12 turns each, I would say.
Yep.
Making our way through. So currently, Brian has a star on the board. Jason has a star on the board. I should have a star on the board. But
cheater. They
told me I did not complete my objective. We're not sure on the airship whether it counts as a token or not. And I had to add 6 tokens. So, yeah, and if my flag maybe token counts as a that token. One. It is called a flag token.
That one. I can see that one making sense.
All right. So I may have a star on the board at this moment. So, yeah, we're pretty far in. We're kind of making our way through. So Brian's kind of, well, I'll let everybody say what they're doing. Go ahead.
Oh, I was curious as to see what you thought I was doing. No, I mean, I guess I just rushed out to build some mechs and everything. And I don't know. I don't really feel like I have a clear path at this point. But, I mean, we'll see what's going on. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm basically playing my character. So I unlock the ability to draw 2 bolster cards every time I use the bolster action. And I can use one of those cards as a resource. So I've been basically spamming that to build all 4 of my mechs, which my star came from. And yeah, I'm like doing things. It's great. It's amazing. Not sure if I'm all that impressed by the ships. I don't feel like they're all that impactful. I don't know. What do you guys think?
No, I mean, it doesn't. It's really just given us another thing to kind of try to focus on. I guess moving them with our characters has been, like, I've been trying to do that a bit. Mm-hmm. But again, I don't know. It doesn't feel like there's a ton of fluctuation with those.
I feel like with these tiles, it says randomly draw one, but I feel like groups that play this a lot may get down to like, oh, we like these 2. Right. These are our play style. We're going to play with these 2.
Well, what is it?
So
does
I could
it
see
say...
it says randomly draw one.
Right.
But there's like 6 of the positive, non-aggressive.
Right. There is an optional thing where everyone gets their own set those as well. But okay, it recommends,
yeah,
like,
that's confusing.
There's a lot of stuff to keep track of with those.
Okay. Yeah, that's mostly been more looking up rules about ships to make sure we're doing things. So, I mean, yeah, you know, it's a little expansion that's trying to add an extra piece. But, yeah, it is a giant mini, you know, the size of it's bigger than the spaces on our small board, so it feels like it should be something combative, and it's not. But I mean, that's a key element to this game. We've had zero combat so far. We are much more passive players, so I think that leads to it. But
we have two Euro players and a cooperative player here.
So trying to
we're
find
not here. We're not. This isn't no minis players.
So I feel good in that I'm highest on the reputation track. I feel like time is on my side. The longer the game goes, I feel like the better for me. Maybe I'm giving my strategy away.
Oh, I have one reputation, so I'm not looking good, guys. Sorry.
So, yeah, or popularity, I guess it's called. So doing that and working towards the objective. One of the objectives we drew that's communal for this Mission Possible is have zero mechs and three structures and seven popularity. So I'm definitely close to that. I have not built any of my mechs, so I am not a competitive threat at all. I'm kind of huddling in my corner with my flag tokens. So, yeah, we'll see where it shakes out. I feel like time's on my side. What do you feel like would be your strongest strategic point, Brian? Let us know so we can explain.
I think time's on my side, so the longer the game goes.
Jason, you're looking for time?
I'm looking, still looking for cards. I don't know if I'm going to actually initiate combat with these cards, but these cards are working for me.
All right, cool. We're going to check in probably relatively briefly here because I think it's going to start to go quick.
All right, cool.
All right, I think we're nearing the end. I just placed my fifth star. Brian has four out. Jason has two. Inching up the track here. I'm also sitting on a pile of coins. Anybody else sitting on a pile of coins?
Me too. All
right, Jason is too. So we'll see how this shakes out. I don't know that much changed. I'm still huddled in my corner. I built a bunch of buildings.
My little air eagle holder guy is flying around the board, scooping up story achievements.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Just unlocking a bunch of stuff and going from there. So, yeah, it's definitely been interesting. I think we've been commenting, like, no, this is cool. I can remember this. I know for Brian and I, not having played it in a while, definitely like, oh, I can definitely see where this comes through. Definitely seeing some opacity in terms of, like, trying to remember what everybody can do, and the movement on the board becomes like, how many spaces can you move and what spaces can you move through? Mm-hmm. Although we have not had any combat.
Right.
As we were talking about prior. We
don't
still
think we're going to.
Are combatless, so we'll see where that goes. Comments otherwise?
It's hard to care what other people are doing. If you're a newbie, you're just focusing on what you're doing, which is definitely a disadvantage.
Yeah. No, I definitely imagine for people that put this in their top 10 games, they're playing this a lot.
A lot, yeah.
To be able to see that. But it's not a very long game. No, I mean, what are we on, an hour and a half maybe?
Yeah, something.
So, cool. All right, we'll check in at the end.
Yeah.
All right, we finished. I placed my sixth star, and then using the Win Gambit, Mission Possible, alternate ending, each of these guys got another turn in which they placed stars, so that didn't seem super beneficial to me. In the regular game, it would have ended right there. One of the things was not always my favorite was that, but I did still pull out the win. So I end up with 70 coins. Jason had 65. Brian was 58.
55.
Yeah. So that's where it finished out. So, Jason, you have only played once before. It's been a while, so why don't you tell us your thoughts on the game?
I mean, this is a fun game. Starts slow. Once it got going, I guess as a first-time player, not really a Euro player, it's hard to pay attention to other people. I'm just kind of doing stuff and hoping it works out. And I kind of went for a lot of coins. So that's what kind of got me the win. Got me the second place.
Got you to beat me, is what you're saying?
I could win.
Are you counting that as a win?
Well, okay, so at the end of the game, I wanted to rush for a star, and ended up attacking Brian, so I won, but handily. But
you won that combat.
Yes, it was a Pyrrhic victory, because I ended up killing four of his workers, which lost me four reputation, which lost me at least 15 points, because that put me down a threshold. So I think that was a trade-off. I was very over-enthusiastic. I may have planned that a little bit better, but that's the thing, right? I was just looking at certain things, and I didn't have the wide view to calculate it all out. So, but it was fun. No, it was fun. I'll definitely, when the app comes out, I'm gonna be hammering this thing.
Yeah, when's that's expected? Shortly or
pretty? It's in beta. I think you can get it a beta on Steam right now, so not too far away.
Okay, nice. Yeah, no, I guess it's kind of that same, like, you're definitely starting off and doing a lot, you know, of your own stuff until it's kind of this forced interaction where it's like, oh, you do that. I didn't, you know, like, because I guess that's just the way it is with all the different factions and the unique stuff that's going on with each board. So, right. Yeah, again, that repetition seems to be key, which is a little tough just with the volume of games that are out there. But, you know, I could see this being like, this one's got enough to it where you can just focus on, you could play this and kind of rotate, switch over to a different character or whatnot, and just, you know, just have fun going through your engine and trying to build up whatever you're doing.
Yeah, for me, the game was really fun. I really enjoyed it, although I noticed, like, the game definitely has a lot of theme, but...
Really?
I was playing it...
Theme? What's your definition of theme?
Well, I think there's a lot, there's powers, and you're doing the different things of the battles. You're definitely battling, like, your character's going to adventure on things and all that kind of stuff. I mean, yeah, not story driven heavy theme, but it's, you know, you definitely are playing what's happening there. But what I'm saying is I'm definitely Terra Mystic-ing it. Like, okay, here's my unique faction, here's my unique ability. How can I build an engine that will generate the maximum amount of points for me? So I'm definitely playing from that Euro end, whereas you were saying, I'm playing my character, which I guess you really meant you're going for your ability.
My ability. I kind of spanned my ability mid-game, and then it reached a limit where, like, the mid-game I was kind of building up cards, and then I tried to do double actions as much as possible. Mm-hmm. So then I was able to kind of close the gap, because Brett was kind of had a decent enough lead once he got stars out. So I was kind of trying to figure out where I could do both actions as many times as possible. And it was pretty close. It wasn't too far. So.
Yeah, it was interesting. The new faction was fun solely probably because of what I was saying, where I like to play the new factions. You know, right. I don't necessarily just sit around and let me try to figure this one out, which is totally cool as well. But
I like to play the same faction over and over and over again. It's amazing.
No, I mean, that could definitely be a benefit to that. As well, so yeah, and three players seem fine. I just imagine with seven, this board would just be so crowded; it would be a nightmare.
Yeah, especially with everyone doing.
I think that's more just a thing you can do than a thing you should do. That's how it feels.
It's a thing that seven experienced players should do.
Even five. Well, like, how would five feel? This map was like you guys were flying all over the map with three movement and run over every lake and river. I sat in four spaces.
Right. Right.
Yeah. That's true. There's going to be a lot more combat.
We only did it for story. Like, the flying was only for the story tokens.
Right, and people would be grabbing those, so you wouldn't be going for them. Yeah, that's interesting that they don't limit that somehow. Like, don't put the ones in the starting regions with
I think it's fine. Like, the balance is fine, because that means that's one less character you have to fight in combats.
Yeah.
Where that character would be fighting combats if it was a tighter map. So, it's doing different things, but it's still doing stuff. So, that's pretty cool.
Alright, so how about Wind Gamut components? Let's kind of discuss some of that. So I think we all felt like I think the airships felt a little bit flat for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just didn't feel dynamic with the stuff that they could do. I know early on I was moving mine around, but then like it didn't move.
We
once.
Forgot them.
Yeah, it just it's parked in one spot that it has not left since.
Yeah, this
the very early part of the game.
Without combat, this combat bonus was irrelevant to us. Yeah. So we could have used something that was like, it produces as well. Like, we probably would have been happy with two of these passive abilities, right? Mm-hmm. Like, an airship will produce as well, or an airship counts as a token would have been a nice.
I'd say the airships are nice. The alternate victory condition is probably closer to necessary.
Though we were reading through a few of those, and they seemed a little strange, but I mean, that might just be because we haven't been trying them out. I'm sure they've been gone through, and you know, it would be worth exploring trying something different. You know?
I'd definitely be down for trying different one of those, because this one still didn't feel very satisfying. Obviously, given that I didn't read that each of you would get another star.
Well, I get another turn.
Basically,
that was awesome.
Basically, it changed it from instead of the game ending right there, it gave each of you another turn. Which, yeah.
So when you're in control, then right? You don't like that.
Yeah,
immediate ending.
A little on that end. All right, so how about just commenting on Scythe being a top 10 game to people? I'm not talking for us. I'm assuming
what, a two-player game?
It's a...
Top 10 BGG game.
It's a top 10 BGG. Is it still top 10?
Yeah.
I assume it's in there? Yeah. So, and I know when we went down to Dice Tower last year, we gave away best strategy game to Terraforming Mars, which I think is one of our favorites. Is that one of your favorite?
Yes.
Solos?
Yeah.
And then Scythe won best game of the year. So that was just kind of an interesting...
Right.
We would have been in the I'm still in the Terraforming Mars camp, you know, comparing the two.
Yeah.
But I think it makes sense. I think I can see it's got both Euro and Interaction, like... Right, it's got that.
Right.
It feels like a combat game, even though it really isn't a combat game. So I think that intrigues people to
like. It's kind of, I don't know. It's got the flash to it. Like it's flashy, but it also has depth to the gameplay, which I feel like a lot of times you're kind of getting one or the other. You know, especially with like this sort of like, you know, with all like the minis and all that sort of stuff. Like it's a lot of times for me, those games fall a little flat from the actual gameplay. Whereas this one feels like there's enough to it, you know, where you are building up and building up to a point where you're turning the corner and trying to do something like unique to what your faction is doing.
I mean, I guess so. It's number 7. I just looked it up. 7 is pretty high. Terraforming Mars number 3 or 4. That's 4.
Oh, really? It has
a nice potpourri of things going on.
Yeah.
You know, so like it's not, is it the best area control game? Maybe not. Is it the best Euro? Maybe not. Is it the best grid movement game? Maybe not.
Dudes on a map.
All that, like, is it the best of anything? No. Does it put it together in a way that no other game does in the market? These particular elements? Yes. Is it fun? Yes. So if that's, like, it has the kind of uniqueness to it, sure. I mean, and it basically is replacing... games that are only that. So, like, it's above Terra Mystica, and it's above Kemet, or all these other games that are, like, focused on that. So, if you can get all that in one package, then I guess I could see that from that perspective.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, you know, I always think of the two things. I always think of the Vassal, is it fun? Did I have fun? And the, I always say, Sean from Dukes of Dice, he said, did I feel clever? And those are the two things that I'm always looking for. And yes, I felt both of those. The part I feel... less satisfied with is, I like you were saying, Jason, I don't really know where my opponents are at. I don't know where my points relate to other people. But if I give that a knock, then I'm not being true to Concordia, which is one of my favorite games, which is completely based on that. Like, I've got a hand of cards and you have a hand of cards and we total up all our points at the end. I have no necessary idea. I mean, you have an idea of where your engine's at.
I guess that's
similar. The reputation track helps with that.
Not so much a point for what they're doing. Like, I mean, Brian, like, I'm on one side of the table. Brian and you are on the other side of the table. You guys are just doing stuff.
Right.
Like, just, I don't even, like, your points, your strategy, whatever, everything. Like, you're doing a bunch of stuff. Brian's character ninja'd me a couple times just because he got a swift kind of thing.
And then you swept in and attacked me from a spot I didn't know you could do it from. So I don't know if that's going to be the argument. But no, I mean, I could definitely see, like, if you're playing with people that know, again, like, if you people know the game, then you don't feel as concerned about, like, you know, because I feel like there's a lot of stuff that can go into what you're doing. So you might make mistakes here or there based on, like, you know, what your faction can do. If you're playing with people that have played it pretty regularly, or, you know, at least before, you're not concerned about them doing something incorrectly, because I don't think I would have caught it if, like, you know, you had done something wrong, or if Brant had done something wrong, without, like, just kind of having that whole, like, you're thinking about what you're going to do, and you might overhear, like, oh, you know, you did that secondary, like, that buff bottom action, but besides that, it felt like it was easy to miss, like, specific things that were going on.
Oh, yeah, like, I have the character, the Riverwalk move across two rip farms in Tundra. I was like, oh, I could walk across rivers. I would have walked into caves and anything I wanted. But, like, there's a lot of kind of fiddliness to pay attention to. I mean, it's not never going to be my favorite game. I think there's a lot of overhead to the moving, more than I'm used to. It kind of, like, puts movement into the Euro, do 5 things, and then you can move in space type stuff. So that style of game is never going to be my favorite. But as far as that type of game... as a person who really dislikes Terra Mystica, just dislikes it, I think this is the top end of what I will tolerate.
As a person who's kicking Jason out of his house, you have to play Gaia Project then.
Oh,
you got that. ready to go.
Yeah, that's right. That's next up. Yeah, but I mean, I don't really ever do a, like, should you buy it, should you try it, whatever. But I really have no problem recommending to people, like, if this game looks cool to you and you buy it, you are not going to be upset with your purchase.
Yeah, no, I think that's also partially why. I mean, it feels like Stonemaier Games had a solid track record before this came out, right? They released a few really good games.
Between Two Cities and...
Viticulture, Euphoria. So they had a solid track record. And then this was kickstarted, right? That was the initial wave. So there was that, like, that awareness. It was out there. There's this, like, great presentation, especially with the Kickstarter bonuses and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, there's this buzz about it. It looks great, and it lived up to it, so it's kind of... I feel like that's a lot of why it's going into that high ranking. I don't... Like, it's not the seventh best game of all time, you know? But it's got so much going into it where I feel like that ranking has a lot to do with buzz, hype, and just the, like, perception of it, yeah. You know? And I feel like it was solid, and it was... really good. Like, it's just got that kind of marketing behind it that gives it the, like, that bump to get it up there.
I think it's worth it, though, on a level.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, like, there's some games up there. I'm poor ego. That I just don't feel like they're top 10 games, maybe back in the day, but not even close now. I could see it. Like, I mean, these it's not in my top, you know, 50 or whatever it is. Maybe it's in my top 50. But, yeah, I could see it. You know, especially for the BGG crowd. You know,
right.
the crowd is
a key element.
Yeah, it's a huge element. I don't know if it would make it on different, like, you did it on the Facebook Revolution group. Would this be a top 10 game? We'll see. But all right, it's yes.
Plus,
I can see it.
And it's got that replayability that you kind of need these days.
So then the next place to go is Rise of Fenris, which is the next expansion, which is like a campaign. I don't know if you'd call it legacy style. I think it's resettable.
I think it's a story mode. Just basically a story mode.
So hopefully we'll get our hands on something like that at Gen Con and see what we can do and have that and play through that and see where that goes. Because I think that's going to really up the ante. And then you're going to put theme into the game.
Now, then I can evaluate theme. I think this game is not able to be evaluated on theme until something like that.
So that should be good. But yeah, that would be kind of my final thing would just be that, you know, this is totally a great game. It's a great retail version, you know, being a retail store. This is a great thing to have on the shelf presence of the box, the game. Nobody's going to walk away and be like, oh my gosh, I paid, you know, whatever, $79.95 for that. Like, it totally makes sense to pay that. Final thoughts.
I mean, I honestly feel like every game store should have Terraforming Mars inside on their shelves. It's gotten to that point. Like, it gets played every week at the store. Every other week, someone plays it out. It is in the canon of modern games that a game store should have, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess a good sign of this, like, I would play it again right now, if you know.
I'm good.
You know, I'm just saying.
I'm good, son.
So two player, Brant and I will play Switch Factions. No, but I'm just like, it would be one that I could see playing again, you know.
Oh yeah.
Like pretty quickly. So I think that is a high, you know, a high regard to this game.
Cool. So stop by the portal, check it out, play it, buy it, whatever. And good job, Stonemaier. Thank you, Jamie. And we'll talk to you all later.
Thank you, Jamie.
Thanks.
And thank you, everyone.
All right, everybody. There we go. Episode 92. Finished. Red leader. This is gold leader. So there's our side battle report. There's our recap. What games did we recap there, Kat?
Dragon's Gate College.
Dragon's Gate College.
Our meetup.
And our meetup and all the games we played there. So that was good. I think that's it. A little bit of a shorter episode this week. And hopefully we'll get another one out and have a couple other things to talk about and whatnot. We've done some escape rooms that we haven't talked about. Escape room games.
Yeah, that'd be good. True.
But who knows? It's going to depend on our busyness and our readiness and all that chaos. Because we've got flights and cars to rent and bags to pack and a train set to figure out how to fit in our bags now.
Yes.
And all that geometric, logical planning and packing.
Right.
Away we go, everybody. So that's it. If you're at Dice Tower Con, find us, play a game with us, bug us, talk to us, all those things. Thanks so much, everybody. Until next time, I'm your host, The Brant.
And your co-host, Kathy.
And we hope you step into the portal. Portal Gaming Podcast is a product of Time Machine Toy and Hobby Store / The Portal, which is located at 71 and 60 Hilliard Street in Manchester, Connecticut. This episode was recorded on June 29th, 2018. Please send any questions to us at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. Portal Gaming Podcast is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. For more awesome podcasts, visit www.dicetowernetwork.com. Dice Tower Con, here we come!